for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday afternoon, December the 29th, 2000. Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Dr. Bill Noe of Salina, Kansas is the speaker on this tape. Should this tape for any reason be defective, please explain and return for replacement.
Spoken word. Most people don't realize it, but the words that come out of your mouth have power.
Amen.
They have power for good or power for evil. Proverbs says, Proverbs says that life and death is in the power of the tongue. Let's look at that. Let's look at Proverbs 18:21. Proverbs says, life and death are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Now, if you love talking, Proverbs says, in a multitude of words, there is sin. If you love to keep talking, you're going to eat the fruit of what you say. James says, be slow to speak. Praise your name. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, God tells you what you're supposed to do. James says how often you're supposed to speak. He said, be slow to speak, quick to listen, slow to get angry. Here it is in James 1:19. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of God does not produce the righteousness of man. Lay aside all filthiness and the overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. So be quick to hear, slow to speak. Now, what does Ephesians say about speaking? 4:29. It says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it might impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and rebellion, wrath and anger, clamor, which is loud quarreling, evil speaking, which is cursing, and malice, which is ill will, be put away from you. But be kind one another, tenderhearted, forgiving, just as God in Christ Jesus forgave you. And so we find that we're supposed to be slow to speak. Now, Jesus gave us an exhortation about speaking, and let's look at that. Let's look at Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, verse 36. Start with 34. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man bringeth forth good treasure out of his heart. Out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say to you that every idle word men speak, they will give account on the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. You know, I had a hard time with that, but I had a vision once of the final judgment day, and I was standing before the great white throne of God. And Jesus was there. And it says that the books will be opened, and then the book of life will be opened. So there are other books than the book of life. And that's in Revelation chapter 21. But the books were opened. And he asked me about something I had said. And so they opened the book. And you know, the word book in the Bible is a scroll. scroll is translated book. And that's something that's rolled up. And what he had rolled up there was a big old electromagnetic tape. And he said, I run the tape by it, and on the great TV set in the sky, there I was. And there were these words coming out of my mouth. And I said, I guess I did say that. And then they played a few more of them. And he made me understand that every idle word that I said that I had not repented of and placed under the blood of Jesus was still recorded on that tape. But that tape... But the blood of Jesus, Glenn has got in the office now. You see those big reel recorders over there? Glenn's got a gizmo back in there. After he takes everything off of those, he runs that tape over that gizmo, and it wipes it clean. It's called a bulk eraser. And Jesus' blood is like a bulk eraser. It'll erase the tape when you put it under the blood. Now, to put it on the blood means that you repent. Repent means that you convicted that it's wrong. You turn your back on it and walk away from it, and you don't do it again. Now, you don't be like the couple that I was counseling, and they had these problems, and they couldn't get rid of them. And I'd pray for them, you know, and I'd bind up all these spirits, you know. And I was praying, and then God gave me a vision. And I saw this couple going into this local motel there in my hometown that catered to local trade. And I saw the room number, and I saw the day and the time. And I thought that was very... It was last Saturday afternoon at 4 o'clock. I said, where were... That was on that particular time, it was last Saturday at 4 o'clock. I said, where were you last Saturday at 4 o'clock? And they got really sheepish looking. I said, you going into room number 5 over, and I named the motel. And they said, you saw us? I said, God just gave me a vision. I saw you going in the room. What are you doing in that motel room? And they said, I said, you go there every Saturday at the same time, don't you? And I said, well, we get out on our knees and ask forgiveness and repent afterwards.
Big boy.
We tell God we're sorry. I said, don't you know that you have insulted God? I mean, that's an insult to the Holy Spirit to say that you know good and well next Saturday you're going to be back there doing the same blooming thing and you're telling God that you're repenting and you're sorry. I said, that's an insult to God. God knows better than that. And I gave them Hebrews chapter 10 to read. Where it says, if you willfully sin, if you continually willfully sin after you've come to a knowledge of the truth, there's no longer any remission for this. For you've insulted, that says you've carried the blood by which you were sanctified a common thing and insulted the Spirit of grace. So I'm not talking about that kind of repentance. I'm talking about a true repentance, which you have a godly conviction and you turn and walk away. Now, sometimes when you turn and walk away and you try and you get over here and you can slip and fall down. You can hit a greasy spot and you can slip and fall down. And you get up under conviction and you say, oh, God, help me. And you know He's faithful. He is so long-suffering. And so there's a difference there of somebody who, after they've repented, they fall again. And they get up and they try again. And God will strengthen those people. And they will come to a point where they won't slip anymore. Now, I've had that in my life. I think, I don't know, maybe I'm the only one who's ever had that happen to them. But, okay. As I said, you get off on rabbit trails, people. And so... You need to repent of idle words that you've made. What kind of idle words? Angry threats that you've made. Idle words like, say, I'm dumb. I'm not dumb, Lord Jesus. I repent of that. Idle words to say that this bad thing is going to happen to me. Or you get angry with somebody and tell them you wish they were dead. Or if you know, you hear somebody who is sick and they claim my diabetes, my arthritis, my cancer, and they claim that cancer. They say it's mine. I'm going to keep it. I say to it, it's at the wrong address. You don't belong here. You came to the wrong place. Get out. I won't own you. I bind you. But those are little things. How many of y'all say a very common expression, good luck? You know who luck is? Yes. Luck is the Egyptian god of good fortune. And so why don't you say, God bless you. May the Lord bless you in this endeavor. Don't say, good luck. People say, good luck to me. I say, no, I don't want no blessings from no foreign god. And they say, what? I said, good luck is the Egyptian god of good fortune. I only have one god, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. May he bless me. Well, what does the word bless mean? It means to speak well of. In the Greek, it comes as the word from which we get eulogy. You know the thing spoken over somebody at the funeral when you get up and say all these nice things about somebody? That comes from the word bless. It's E-U logos. I can't pronounce it. I wouldn't even try. But it's E-U, which means good. Logos means which word? Which means word. To bless means to speak well of. To set into motion good things for someone. Evil speaking is cursing. The opposite. To speak an evil implication is a curse. You know? How many of you have ever seen ever been mad at your children and said something bad to them, like you're dumb? You're always going to be dumb. That's a curse. You've cursed your baby. How do I know that? I had a hard time with curses. I had a hard time understanding them. I knew they were real. I was raised. My great-great-grandfather was an Indian shaman. I was the gifted one. Always curious about spiritual things. I saw the witch doctor. We had a hoodoo who lived very close to my home when I was a small boy on the edge of the river swamp. And I still had a hard time with curses, though. I just didn't understand them. And one day, I was working on a study for my Bible study. And I wanted to talk about curses, and I just couldn't make it come together. And I was praying, and I got ready to go to bed, and I found myself looking down in a room, looking down. And there was a man there who was intoxicated. And he was talking to this little boy. And he told him that he didn't have enough sense to pour water out of a boot with instructions on the heel. Now, I don't know if you ever heard that expression before, but it was another liquid. It was not water. And he told this kid he was a dumb piece of dung, and he would never amount to anything, and I was watching, and then looked like a laser beam hit that kid. I said, "What's that?" And they said to me, "That was the demonic force that the enemy dispensed to bring that curse to pass, the demon." And I said, "Where in the Bible does it say that a father can curse his child?" And immediately in my mind, the verse from Genesis, "But mother, I am a smooth-skinned man, and my brother is a hairy man. If my father feels me, he will see that I am a deceiver, and I will receive on myself a curse and not a blessing." There it is. Father was going to curse him, not bless him. Blessings, a parent can curse a child. I can go through the Bible and show you where the parent can curse a child. The employer can curse a child, can curse an employee. The pastor can curse a member of his flock. And obviously God can curse you. And then a professional can curse you. a professional curse caster. And you say, well, if a professional curse caster can say these evil words, and they will actually bring a demonic force into my life, what protection do I have? Well, I had a friend in Minneapolis who at one time had been a professional curse caster before he got saved. And he used to do it for his friends. He had a friend, he said, who had an eye operation, and the nurse had made some mistake with medication, and he'd gone blind in that eye. He said he investigated very carefully to make sure it was true, because otherwise the curse could come back on him. And so he went out to his favorite curse casting place, which was an old run-down building outside of Minneapolis that used to be on the Underground Railway. And that's where the runaway slaves spent nights before they crossed into Canada. And he said it was apparently some of them died there, and they had a lot of demons in the place. And see, God, I said, isn't this a wonderful place? He took his wife. I said, isn't this a wonderful place? She said, God, this is the spookiest place I've ever been in my life. I'm going to wait in the car. I'm not going to stay in here. But he went in and he'd make his altar. And then he'd put his candles on it. And then he would read verses out of the Bible, the imprecatory prayers out of the Bible. And he would chant it up. And he said this black cloud would appear over the altar. And then he would send this curse forth. Ain't that spooky? Anyway, I went on and I went through all these things I told you. And also when you've been wronged. And I got all these verses, you know, and I got all this stuff, and I wrote it all down. And I came down to see Pastor Glenn Miller down here. And I said, Glenn, I've had this revelation. And I know it was from God because I tested the spirits. But I want to see what you think of it. Glenn read it. And he said, it's from God. I want you to teach it. I want you to write it down and we'll publish it. You teach it. And about a week later, I noticed that Derek Prince had a group of tapes on that had just come out on curses. And so I sent and got Derek's tapes. And you know what? God is not a respecter of persons. He gave me the same revelation he gave Derek Prince. It made me feel good. First, I was insulted that Derek had my revelation. But then God made me see he'd given it to several hundred people. God is not a respecter of persons. Hey, you think you have a private revelation from God? I tell you. He said, I got 5,000 that haven't bowed the knee to Baal. Well, I have reserved for myself 7,000 that have not bowed the knee to Baal. And so, you have to be careful. You want to be careful of what you say. It's important. And you will stand before the judgment seat of God for what you say. What comes out of your mouth? I tell you something even harder. You're going to be judged for your imaginations. I can talk another 2 hours about that one. But fantasy is a demon that opens you. My son was talking to me. He said, Dad, you know what the driving force behind professional sports is? I said, what? He said, fantasy. All these men are watching these old boys get knocked around. I said, man, I could do that if I just had the chance. If I'd just been a little bit bigger, I could have made the football team. If I'd been a little bit taller, I could have made the basketball team. And I'd be getting all that glory. I just didn't have the breaks. And it's fantasy. And it drives. And so, what drives advertisement? Fantasy. Buy Coors, and you get that good-looking, slightly clad young lady that's bringing the Coors out, you know, that ain't got practically nothing on. You get her with the can. Well, at least that's what they want you to think, and they get you to fantasizing that if you drink it, you're going to be drinking Coors, and then she's going to come over because you're drinking, Coors or Bud Light or whatever they happen to be paying the bills. I can remember I had a picture made of me with my wife and my children when I was much younger, and I was sitting there holding a cigarette like this, you know, in my fingers. Man, I thought I looked so sophisticated holding that cigarette. I look at it now and I say, God, what's wrong with me? But at that time, to be smoking was sophisticated. was very sophisticated and you know, just in, you were in the crowd, boy, when you were smoking. You were in the in group. That was in the early 60s. I can still remember it. I look at that picture sometime and I just shake my head. I looked like I was 10 years old. So, for the purpose of consideration, we're going to divide the spoken word into, number one, thanksgiving. Number two, praise. Number three, prayer. Number four, blessings. Five, proclamations. And six, the abominations. Now, the last time I was down here, I had 3 hours upstairs, and I was working on this, and I went through all the abominations of speaking abominations I could think of, and I wrote, and I got the whole yellow pad full of abominations, you know. And you know what God said to me? He says, you're not going to speak that to my people. I don't teach all those abominations like that. He said, what I want you to do is teach them what they're supposed to say, not what they're not supposed to say. And look at the blessings that come from learning the proper use of the spoken word. Now, I've spoken to you about the fact, and I tried to give you some examples of what can happen with the misuse. And I'm not going to speak a whole lot more on that. If the copying machine will ever come to life up there when the electricity comes back on, I'll give you a copy of the abominations for you to read at your procuration. But they are things that anybody with good sense shows and knows they shouldn't be doing. Praise the Lord. Let's look at Thanksgiving first.
Is that number one?
Mm-hmm.
Now,
thanksgiving is defined as the act of giving thanks. Thanks is an expression of gratitude, grateful acknowledgement of something received or done from one. In the Old Covenant period, thanksgiving is expressed in the peace offering. Now, let's look at Leviticus chapter 7, verse 12. All right. The peace offering. And we'll just sort of read a little bit here. If he offers it for... All right, this is the law of the sacrifice of the peace offering which he shall offer to the Lord. If he offers it for thanksgiving, then he shall offer it with a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Unleavened cakes mixed with oil, unleavened wafers anointed with oil, and cakes of finely blended flour mixed with oil. And besides the cakes, as his offering, he shall offer leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of the peace offering. That is, there are only two places in the sacrificial system that use leavened bread. One was on the day of Pentecost, and the other was the thanksgiving offering. You offered it with leavened bread. Now, I'll go through and tell you why I think that, my understanding of that. Okay, and he shall offer one cake from each offering as a heave offering to the priest, and it shall belong to the priest who sprinkles the blood of his peace offering. The flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offering shall be eaten the same day as offered. He shall not leave any to morning. If the sacrifice of his offering is a vow or a voluntary offering, shall be eaten the same day he offers it, but the next day the remainder also shall be eaten. On the remainder of the flesh of the sacrifice, the third day shall be burned with fire. Okay. Now, what happens here, I can go through and show you other places in the Bible about this. But what happens is that you offered a thanksgiving offering to God. And anybody who was clean could eat of it. You could invite your friends. And you could go down to the temple and you could sacrifice this lamb or this goat or this bull or this animal. And you had a thanksgiving offering, you thanking God. And you could have a feast. And you made this. And with this feast, you got to eat except for the part that the priest took as his cut for his family, his part. He got the heave offering. And he got the wave offering. Okay. Priest got two portions, but you got to eat the rest of it. And you got to pick out what you wanted. whether you want a goat or whether you want a lamb or whether you want a bull. And you got to invite all your friends. They just had to be clean. They had to be ritualistically clean. And they could sit down and you could have a feast. And you got to eat it with leavened bread. I mean real bread, man. You didn't have these thin crackers. God let you have good food. And you offered it thanking Him for His goodness and His kindness. That's the Thanksgiving offering. I want to show you that God allowed you to have leavened bread. Good bread. Bread that tasted good. Not flat crackers, but regular bread with your meat. Okay. And you can look at it in Leviticus 22:29. You can read that if you'd like, but we'll go on. And so we have to see that it is the will of God to give thanks in all things. Let's look in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. You know, it doesn't say in the Bible very often, this is the will of God for you. But let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Give thanks for everything. That means for getting fired. That means for your house burning down. That means for everything. What you have to say is, Lord, I don't understand it, but thank you, Lord. I know you're the Lord of the universe, and you're going to supply my needs. And I don't know why. I rode home once from my car. I was having some car trouble. I got it started here, and I thought I'd make it home. And I stopped it at Fort Smith, and I had it worked on the garage there, and I started home, and it was spitting and sputtering, and all the way across Oklahoma and all the way rest of Arkansas and all the way across Oklahoma, I just praised God. I said, oh God, I thank you for this car trouble. I thank you, Lord, that I'm getting this time to stand before you and praise you. And Lord, I don't know how come I'm having all this trouble, but I thank you for it. But Lord, whatever it is I'm supposed to learn, please let me learn it real good so I won't have to go through this again. I finally got to a radio station. I finally got, the motor car got to where it was going about 15 miles an hour, and I got back within 100 miles of home. And so I said, you know, I'm going to pull in and have this friend of mine has a wrecker come get me and take this thing home. I don't think it's going to make it home, and I just think I just need to quit. And I said, Lord, I don't want to stop any bars. All that was on this road were bars. I was off the interstate system because I was going too slow. And it just bars. Finally, I saw this radio station. So I pulled up there and went in and talked to this man and asked him if I could use the phone. And he said yes. And so I called my friend and told him where I was. He said he'd come get me. And the man said he was going to close about half. And I was exhausted. And I said, I'm going to go out and lie down in the seat of my car and go to sleep. I got my sleeping bag out, went out and slept in the back seat of the car. I woke up in about an hour and a half and looked, and the man was sitting up there, and he was still there. I said, I thought you were going home. He said, well, I was afraid your friend might get lost and didn't know where you were, and he'd call the station back, and I thought there ought to be somebody here to answer the phone. So I certainly appreciate you staying. So I talked on to him, and he said, you know, that he and his wife had been married a number of years, and that they didn't have any children. He was a good Baptist man. He was a good Christian man. They went to the local Baptist church. And my friend showed up at that time and said, brother, I want to pray a blessing over you. Is that okay? And so I spoke the word over him. And what I spoke over him was Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. And he will love you, and he will bless you, and multiply you, and bless the fruit of your womb, and the fruit of your land, and your grain, and your new wine, and your oil, and the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flock, and your land, which you sworn to your fathers to give you. And you shall be blessed above all people, and there shall be not a male or female barren among you, or your livestock. And the Lord will take away all sickness and afflict you with none of the terrible diseases which you have known, but I will lay them on those that hate you. And that is a blessing I prayed over in man. And I say, may the Lord Jesus Christ bless you and multiply you in Jesus' name. And then my friend had my car up on the wrecker, and we went home and said goodbye to my friend. And it was about 3 years later. I was thinking about it. I was driving home from camp one night, and I was thinking about it. And God said, why don't you go see what happens? So I drove over there to see him, and he remembered me, gave me a picture of the baby, now 2 years old, and said she's pregnant again. And talked about he'd gotten a promotion, and that the radio place had prospered. I mean, God had prospered that man. And he made me see that that happened to me, that I might go by and be his instrument to bless that man. And I give thanks that my car broke down and I spent 2 days on the road because God gave me an opportunity to be an instrument of his grace. That I got to suffer shame and disgrace with that car and suffered more stripes. I felt like I'd been whipped when I got out of that thing for his name. That his name might be glorified before all the earth. That man said, what is your name? He said, I don't know your name. I said, you just call me the unnamed prophet, brother. Just a servant of God who came by, that God sent by to bless you because he loves you. And I left. But I tell you, you don't ever know how God, the word that you speak forth. Brother Bob Trench talks about the time in 1945, that he was called to go into Zululand, that he was in college, and God said that we're going to use you and your group to heal, to save all of Zululand. So I want you to go up to the capital of Zululand and hold a meeting. So he got there, rented a big hall, held 500 people, and he got 10 folks, and they went up there, and they advertised, and they got there, and they sat, and the first night one man showed up. One man. So they pulled the chairs around in a circle and sat down and talked, and this man got saved that night. Well, they thought surely he'd probably bring back some old friends the next night. The next night he showed up, he's all by himself because he's visiting. He wasn't from this town. And he got filled with the Holy Ghost that night. And the next night, same thing, one man. And so they blessed him and they prayed over him and they sent him out. And he went back to Durbin. And he said he can go back for 20 years. And so he went up with the Full Gospel Businessmen's Association up to Zululand, and he got off the plane, and there was this group of Zulu Christians there to meet him. And this man stepped out and said, Brother Train, it's so good to see you again, sir. He said, you know me? Well, don't you remember? You were here 20 years ago, and we had this meeting, and I got saved. He said, oh, yes, I remember that meeting. Yeah, you were the man guy? Oh, yes, yes. Well, what's happened to you? He said, oh, I came home, and they told me, and I'd gotten saved. Deal with the Holy Ghost, I was supposed to start church. And I started church over there, right there. I said, we got 15,000 members. We got 150 spinoff churches. We got 10 full-time events. We going to save all of Zululand, Brother Train. One man. And the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, see, I told you. And he said, for 20 years, the devil had been beating him over the head, saying, yeah, you got one man saved. That's all. That guy, one man saved. You messed up. You should have done another way. Praise God. So let's go back to giving thanks. Give thanks in all things. Now, look at Psalm 95:2. Lord Jesus. I'm getting off on rabbit trails. I apologize to y'all. Psalm 95:2. Look at Psalm 95:2. And what does it say? It says, let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. And Psalm 100 says, enter into his courts with thanksgiving and into his presence with praise. If you want to come in to the presence, put this on. Just put this on and zip it up. It'll get you warm.
Okay.
Hallelujah. Psalm 104 says, come into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Psalm 50:13-15 says, God says, will I eat the blood of bulls or drink? Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer to God thanksgiving and pray and pay your vows to the Most High. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and I shall glorify you. What's he doing there? He's saying, offer thanksgiving, then pay your vows. Have y'all vowed anything to God? And you think, God, I'm going to do this? Have you made a vow? Made a vow to somebody else. I made a vow once. This church I was attending at the time had this big, beautiful old building. And they were holding a restoration campaign. And they decided in this they were going to put in the finest organ in the state of Kansas for a church that size. $135,000 they were going to spend on that organ. Going to be the best one in Kansas. So. Well, I was president of a local daycare association, and I wanted to bring the kitchen up to commercial standards so I could get a daycare located in the educational building. But we had to, some things we had to do. And so I told them that I would give $10,000. They told us that week for the restoration program, we decide how we were going to use them, how the money would be used. And I said, fine. I want to use it in the kitchen. I want to hood the stoves. I want to put hot water heaters in. I want to put a 3-compartment sink in. I want to bring it up to commercial standards. And I'll pay $10,000 for it. I'll give you the $10,000 to do it. They said, okay. Well, the ruling body, the vestry of the church, really did not want a daycare center there. And so they said, no, they weren't going to do that. They wanted to use the money for the organ. I got incensed, told them I wasn't going to pay it. I'd signed the card. I'd vowed it. I said, I won't pay it. God gave me that verse. Pay your vow. I said, God, you know what they're going to do. They're going to use it for that organ for their pride. And you know what he said to me? He said, you are responsible to me to keep your vow. The vestry is responsible to me. That's how they spend it. And, you know, I felt sorry for those boys. I went out and gave them my check and said, here it is. And God bless you. And I really felt sorry for them. Because they're going to stand before the throne of God someday for how they spent that money for their pride. God, keep me from judging them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. But he says, pay your vows. Fulfill your vows. As long as it doesn't conflict with the Word of God. If you vowed you're going to go do something that is not God's will, is against the Word of God, you get on your knees and repent and ask God to release you from it. All for thanksgiving, pay your vows the most high, then call upon me in the day of trouble. Now I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. That's Psalms 50, 13 to 15. Thanksgiving brings deliverance. Now let's turn our Bibles to Psalm 116, 16 to 18. O Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosened my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving. I will call upon the name of the Lord. Praise. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of his people. Now let's look at Jonah chapter 2. You know, Jonah is a much maligned prophet today, was one Jesus referred to twice. Jesus referred to the prophet Jonah, and he said, as Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights, so the Son of Man shall be in the ground 3 days and 3 nights. That is a sign given to you. And he also said, as the people of Nineveh repented at the preaching of the prophet Jonah, you shall be judged because you don't repent. He said, those men will stand up and accuse you on the day of judgment. Because he said, greater than Jonah is here today. He said, I'm here preaching to you, and I'm greater than Jonah, and you don't hear me. The people of Nineveh are going to rise up and accuse you on the day of judgment. Praise your Lord God. So Jonah, I think Jonah, we have to look at Jonah very seriously and not listen to the modern naysayers. All right, Jonah chapter 2, verse 8. Says, those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. I will sacrifice to you with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. So the Lord spoke to the fish and it vomited up Jonah on dry ground. Now Jonah had been down there in the belly of the whale for 3 days. Bleached white by the digestive juices in the whale's stomach. And he got around to saying, God, praise your holy name, Lord. I'm going to fulfill my vow, whatever you want me to do. And so God had moved the whale from the Mediterranean Ocean all the way around the Cape of Good Hope and up through the Red Sea, up through the Euphrates River to the Nineveh, right there on the voyage, and he vomits up Jonah right outside of Nineveh there. And the folks in Nineveh look, and you see their God's half fish. And they see this big fish just vomit up Jonah right out there, and he's all bleached white. And he walks through and says, in 30 days, destruction is coming. And they said, boy, we got to repent now. Now, I saw a piece in a newspaper about 15 years ago. I wish I'd cut it out and kept it. But it spoke of a man who was on a whaler. He fell off into the sea, and his shipmate saw a whale swallow him. And 3 days later, they harpoon this whale and pull him up in the thing, and they cut it open, and there's this man in the belly, bleached white. They pull him out, and he's still alive. That's the reason I say he's bleached white. This man was bleached white by the digestive juices of the stomach, but he'd been alive in this whale's belly for 3 days because they knew when he fell off the ship and they saw the whale swallow him. I wish I'd kept it. I wish I'd kept that. So I could show it to some of these people who don't believe somebody can live in a whale's belly for 3 days. It doesn't have to be. See, that was a... You can call this supernatural act if you want to. I don't know, but this man was alive. He wasn't Jonah. He was a modern Norwegian on a whaling fleet. Okay. And so thanksgiving will bring deliverance. But you will notice it is associated in all three verses. It's associated with the payment of vows. Keeping your word. Something that you've spoken out to God. Keeping your word to God. If you said, God, I'm going to do this, then do it. And deliverance is of the Lord. Thank Him for it. I told Him I was going to quit smoking. And you know I was like Mark Twain? Mark Twain said, anybody can quit smoking. I've done it 1,000 times. Man, I quit smoking, and by noon, you know, and about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I'd be just like this. I'd be over there trying to straighten out a butt out of the ashtray, you know, to start over again. But I lay before God, and I said, oh, God, I love you. I thank you, Lord. I don't understand why I'm having so much trouble, Lord. I mean, you delivered me from drinking and from cussing and from all these other things, Lord. Oh, no, why? Thank you, Lord. Thank you for saving me. Thank you, Lord. 5 years. I quit 3 or 4 times and lasted 3 or 4 months and gained 10 pounds. And I'd quit until my wife would say, my God, I said, my goodness, just smoke a cigarette. You're so irritable. But when deliverance came, he was gone. I've never had a desire again to smoke another cigarette. I get so nauseated when I smell one. But I persisted in thanksgiving. And I didn't know this. I'd never read these verses. But I just kept thanking Him because they told me I was supposed to thank Him in all things. They gave me that verse. And the lady that gave it to me said, thank you, Lord, for the bird poop on the window shield. And I thought that was sort of ridiculous. But I said, thank you, Lord. It says, does say in all things, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. You know how many times in the Bible it says, this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus? 4 times. One, it says that you're supposed to avoid fornication. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you, that you avoid fornication. That you know how to possess your vessel in honor, not in passion like the heathen who do not know God. That's also in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It's right up here on the other side of the... Well, I'm in Jonah right now, so... Praise God. Let's go on here. Thanksgiving brings rejoicing. Let's look at Psalm 107, verse 22. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, who He has redeemed out of the hand of the enemy is gathered from the east, the north, and the west. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His mercy endures forever. Verse 22 says, let them sacrifice the sacrifice of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing. Now let's look at Isaiah 51, verse 3. The Lord will comfort Zion He will comfort all of her waste places. He will make her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the garden of God. Joy and gladness will be found in it, thanksgiving in the voice of melody. There, Zion is like a desert, has been under judgment. But God is bringing forth restoration. And he says he's going to make it like the Garden of Eden. The waste places will be destroyed, will be restored, comforted, and become like a garden. And there will be joy and gladness, thanksgiving in the voice of melody. And so there you have thanksgiving, deliverance through thanksgiving. The promise of restoration brings thanksgiving through deliverance. Look at Jeremiah 30, verse 19. And starting in verse 18, this is a prophecy on the restoration. Jeremiah says, "Thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring back the captivity of Jacob's tent and have mercy on its dwelling places. The city shall be built on its own mound, and the palace shall remain according to its own plan. Then out of them shall proceed thanksgiving and the voice of those who make merry. I will multiply them, they shall not diminish. I will glorify them, they shall not be small. And their children shall be as before, and their congregation shall be established before me, and I will punish those all who oppress them." And it goes on with the number there. And he says, and thanks to restoration again. As you begin to thank God, restoration will come. And you say, well, thanksgiving in perils and trials. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. "For all things are for your sake, that grace having spread through many..." I'm sorry, I'm the wrong chapter. Chapter 9, 11 and 12. You need to read chapter 6 through 12 for content. It says, "I say to you, he who sows sparingly shall reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Let each one of them as he give, as he proposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity or compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. The Lord is able to make all grace abound to you, that always having all sufficiency in all things, have an abundance in every good work. As is written, he is dispersed abroad, given to the poor, his righteousness remains forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seeds you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. While you are enriched in everything of all liberality, which causes thanksgiving to us to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God." And so, as you thank God with a cheerful heart and give, it means that blessings come back. When you give your tithe, don't be legalistic. Say, "Here it is, God, this is 10%. I made $930 last month. Therefore, you get $93.47. Here's your cut." Yeah, I gave him my 10%. But God says, give it with a cheerful heart. Give it with thanksgiving. Give it with thanksgiving that you got a full 40-hour week. Or maybe you got 10 hours overtime when you needed it. Be thankful. For it is God who gives you the ability to make money. So just say, "Thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you. I give you this, Lord God. Here's yours, Lord God. And here's an offering, Lord. And I ask you to bless it, Lord, and multiply it. And I give it to you for your works, Lord God. And you let the pastor and the council are responsible for how they spend it, Lord. And I'm not going to question them, Lord. They got to stand before you. But it is yours, and I have given it in obedience to your word. And I thank you for blessing me and allowing me to give it forth. Bless it, Lord. I give it to you, Lord. It's a seed I'm sending forth. Here's my seed, Lord God. I'm sowing to your ministry, Lord. Thank you for the privilege of allowing me to sow into your ministry. God doesn't have to allow you to sow, you know. Thank Him. God loves a cheerful giver, a grateful heart. If thanksgiving brings you into His presence and releases His glory and brings about your deliverance and your healing. Thanksgiving. Okay, let's look at Philippians 4:6. We'll start with 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known, the Lord is at hand. Be anxious or fearful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasseth all understanding, will keep, garrison, guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That word guard there, that is a Greek word. It's keep in the old King James. And you know, the keep was the safest part of the castle, the most defended part of the castle. That word means, number one, it means to garrison with troops. Number two, it means to surround it so that nothing can come out or nothing can go in. He will surround your heart with angels so that the enemy can't shoot any barbs into it. And so the peace of God. But you keep on looking down here. Finally, brothers, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, lovely, good report, praiseworthy, met on these things. The things which you learned and received and saw in me. Do these things and the peace of God will be with you. See, there's a condition there. First you thank Him and the peace will come. But how do you keep the peace? Guard your mind. Meditate on those things. Now, sin from within is called the flesh. And it's composed of two things. The body of sin. And as the soul, your mind, yields to the lust and the passion, the body of sin, they become entwined together. And it's called the flesh. Now, it takes a minute to be delivered from the sins, the body of sin. You reckon it dead. Reckon it dead. You're dead to sin. You've died to sin with Jesus Christ. When He was crucified on the cross, that portion of that was crucified with Him. And you reckon it dead and say, you're dead. You're dead. I'm not in bondage to you anymore. But you still got the self of the flesh, you know, self, the soul, you know. When you do things, good works, that are not called by the Holy Spirit, not led by the Holy Spirit, but they're still good works, then they're self-motivated out of your mind, not out of the Holy Spirit. They're self-empowered. You're not getting spiritual power to do them. You're doing them for the power of the soul. And they're self-glorifying. They glorify you. How many folks you know like that? I have a... You know, Paul wanted to go to Ephesus. Now, there were unsaved people down in Ephesus. And God wants everybody to be saved. And Paul said, we're going to go down to Ephesus and have us a ministry. But the Holy Spirit forbid him to go. Paul said, okay. He wanted to go up Bithynia. God said, can't go up there either. Well, the unsaved folks up there too need Jesus. God had another work for him to go, that he might be glorified. Now, Paul had gone down to Ephesus. It had been what we know in modern missionary terms as a difficult missionary field. You know, you can't get anybody saved without the Holy Ghost. And do you think the Holy Ghost is going to work with you in your work of the flesh? You think the Holy Ghost is going to empower your work of the flesh? China, the early Chinese missionaries, they had what they called rice Christians. You know what rice Christians were? They bought rice and fed them. And so these people came in and they confessed. I had a jail ministry once. And I had a lot of men, what the inmates called, took a dive. They confessed Jesus.
They confessed Jesus. They read the Bible. They came to Bible studies. And they wanted me to come tell the judge what a good Christian they were and how they had been changed and he changed their character and that the judge had let them off. And when I said to them, I said, well, I'll be glad to testify that you're coming to Bible study, but the judge may still require, society, God has forgiven you your sins, but society may require a penalty from you. You may still go to jail.
You mean God's not going to get me out of going to jail?
That's not part of the deal. He might not.
Well, if he doesn't do that, I don't want to think to do with that God.
Took a dive. But they are people, and they're not saved. They never had a work of the Spirit. They were never reborn.
They said the words,
but the Spirit didn't move.
Well, I don't know how I got into that. But there are two fountains in you. One is the fountain of the world, and the other is the fountain of the Holy Ghost. It depends on which one you speak with. All right, Thanksgiving. But praise God. Let your prayers and petitions be known to God with supplications with thanksgiving. And then the peace of God will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. And then to keep it, you press out of your mind all those thoughts, all the unclean thoughts, all the self-glorifying thoughts, all the fantasy thoughts of how you're going to have such this big ministry and people are going to look up to you. And you're going to have all these folks working for you. Or you're going to build this big company. Or you're going to win the lottery. And then you can just do all kind of things for God.
I'm the only one that ever thought like that. None of y'all ever had any thoughts like that? Huh? But you need to push those thoughts out. You need to push them out of your mind. Fantasy. If you let that fantasy run and self-satisfying, self-pleasuring comes with fantasy. Now, there are people who will do things that produce sexual self-pleasuring.
There's a word for it. I won't use it. Y'all all know what I mean.
You cannot do that without fantasy. It is the sexual fantasy that opens you to masturbation. All you got to do is cut the television set on, you know, and it's there. You got the jigglers. I mean, you don't even have jigglers anymore. I mean, you just got folks jumping in bed together in prime time.
And I haven't seen, I understand they still have to have clothes on, scanty clothes on, but they still have to be sort of partially covered, but they leave no idea as to what's going on. And this is prime time with small children watching it with their parents. All right, let's look at Colossians 2. Come on over to Colossians 2, 6 and 8. This is, I've talked a lot longer than I thought I would. Colossians 2, 6 to 8. Start with verse 4.
Now I say this to us, anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. Though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and steadfast in your faith in Christ. As you have therefore received Christ, Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted in Him, built up in Him, established in Him, in faith, as you've been taught, abounding in Him with thanksgiving. Beware, lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of this world, not according to Christ.
Okay. Be thankful. Be thankful. Be thankful that you've been rooted and built up and established in Him, abounding in thanksgiving. Otherwise, someone will cheat you. And that word cheat you means plunder you or take you captive through the philosophy and empty seat according to the traditions of men and the basic principles of the world. Now, that word principle there is a Greek word. And it's the same word used in Galatians. It says elements. And the Greek word there means the spiritual forces behind the basic elements of the world. The spiritual forces that move the stars, that move the moon, that move the tides, that move the wind, the weather, and the rain, Those are the spiritual... That is a word for those spiritual cosmic forces, the demons. And they worship them as gods. They worship the stars and the demons that moved them, that they thought moved them. They worship the demons that they thought brought the weather, the rain on their crops. You know who brings rain? God brings rain. But they had a name of a demon. They called him Baal. That's what that means. They'll bring you back in captivity to demonic forces. If you aren't thankful to God, always thankful that He saved you, that He has filled you, that He provides you with all good things, then you'll start thinking you did it yourself, just like the Jews did. And then you will come in and start adding to. And the first thing you know, you will be in bondage to demonic forces. Because self will come in and will build up an idol in your heart. And when you start worshiping idols, demons come in. Thanksgiving protects you from going in to captivity to the basic principles of this world. And remember that the whole world lies in the lap of the evil one. Love not the world. Anyone who loves the world does not love God. Anyone who's a friend of the world is an enemy of God. So, thanksgiving. So I say to you that thanksgiving is something that you should do all the time. When you can't think of anything else to think about or talk about, start thanking God. Just start thanking Him. And the anointing of the Holy Ghost will come upon you in the name of Jesus. Now we're going to stop. We've been sitting for an hour and a half, and it is said that the brain can only absorb what the fanny can endure. We got nice cushions here, but an hour and a half is about as long as I can sit. But by then, all my blood has settled down into my feet and into other portions of my anatomy, and I need to get up and move. So I want all of you stand up and thank God. Hallelujah. Jump up down a little bit and get your blood circulating out of your feet and back up to your brain. Hallelujah, Lord. Lord, we thank You. Praise Your name, Lord Jesus. Praise You and bless You and glorify You, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I thank You and praise You and bless You and glorify You, Lord God. Oh, Lord, we thank You and we praise You, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank You for Thanksgiving, Lord God. We praise Your name. If we ever get the Xerox machine working, I will give you a copy of my outline. But praise God, I didn't count on the Xerox machine not working. Lord, we thank You and we praise You and we bless You and we glorify You, Lord. We give thanks to You, Lord God. Hallelujah. We praise Your holy name. Now, I'm going to lead y'all. Yesterday I led y'all. Last night we had a mass deliverance service. Now, today I'm going to lead you in a prayer which affirms the Word of God. It affirms the gospel. Now, God responds to the preaching of the gospel. And so, the gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ, that He came to save what was lost. And that's what we're going to do now. We're going to pray. We're going to have a prayer that affirms the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then we're going to ask God to come and touch us and to heal us. Okay? Say, dear Lord,
dear Lord,
I believe
Jesus Christ of Nazareth
is the Son of God.
He
was manifested
in the flesh.
He died on the cross
for my sin.
He was resurrected from the dead
for my justification.
He ascended into heaven,
sits on the right hand of the Father,
ever to make intercession for me.
God is my Father.
Jesus Christ is my big brother.
I have been accepted in the Beloved.
I am a child of God.
I am an heir of God.
And joint heir with Jesus Christ.
Then heir with God.
Thank You, Lord.
Thank You, Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Lord God.
I confess the sins of my ancestors. Lord, I hold my ancestors up to you. And I confess their sin. That the curse might be broken on me and my lineal descendants forever. In the name of Jesus. But Jesus was made a curse for me that I might be delivered from the curse of the law. I break the curse of incest, of illegitimacy, of witchcraft, of idolatry, of the occult, of the vagabond, of whoredom, and poverty, of lying, of thief. In the name of Jesus, I break all these curses, Lord, and all the others that I have not named. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for it, Lord. Lord, I confess to you that in the past, I have had people that I have not forgiven. People that irritate me. People that hurt me. Lord, I forgive them. I remit my revenge to you. I don't want revenge in my life. Revenge belongs to you. I ask you to bless them, Lord God. I forgive them, Lord. Cut me free from it, Lord. Break all the evil soul ties, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Bless them. In Jesus' name. Lord, I confess that in the past, that I have had lustful thoughts. I have committed lustful acts. I ask forgiveness under the blood of Jesus. You say, Lord, that if we confess our sin, you are faithful and just. Forgive our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, I accept your cleansing. And your forgiveness. Lord, I ask you to break all ungodly soul ties and all curses in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I praise your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Y'all can have a seat. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Lord, just let your spirit come down now, Lord God. Oh, Lord, let your spirit come down. Come down, Lord. Come down on your people, Lord God. I just bind the spirits of rejection now in the name of Jesus. I bind rejection in Jesus' name. I bind rejection. These aren't rejected people. These are people of God. A people of God. You can sit down. These are people. These are God's people. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace. Ephesians 1:7. Ephesians 1:7 says they have been accepted in the name of Ephesians 1:8 says they have been accepted in the beloved. In the name of Jesus, Lord God. These are accepted people, not rejected people, Lord. I bind the spirits of rejection that have come into their lives in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirit of rejection of feeling not loved, not wanted in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirit of, in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirits of not being loved, not being wanted, of feeling unloved, unwanted, unappreciated. I break its power in the name of Jesus. I break the power in the name of Jesus. And I speak healing and restoration to God's people in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I break the power of it. I break the power of rebellion, which comes from rejection in the name of Jesus, of rejecting God's law in the name of Jesus. I break the power of rejection and bitterness. I break the power of bitterness. Bitterness, marah. I bind you. I command you to leave God's people. I put Jesus Christ in the bitter pool as Moses put the stick in the pool at Marah. I put Jesus Christ in the bitter pool in the name of Jesus. Bitterness, I break your power now. Bitterness and rebellion, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Rebellion is a sin of witchcraft. I bind Jezebel and I bind witchcraft in the name of Jesus. I bind domination, intimidation, and conversion in the name of Jesus. I bind contamination, Lord God. I bind manipulation, Lord, domination, witchcraft in the name of Jesus. We break the evil force of witchcraft in Jesus' name. Witchcraft, I bind you and I break your power. Turn them loose, Jezebel. I come against Celebi and Tina in the name of Jesus. And I break their power and I break the power of abortion in the name of Jesus. I break the power of abortion and child sacrifice in the name of Jesus Christ. I break the power in the name of Jesus. I break the curse. And I call you to come out now, Molech. Come out, Molech. The God of abortion. Come out, Molech. Come out, Chemosh. In the name of Jesus Christ, I break the power of Chemosh and Molech in the name of Jesus. Command it to go. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. Go. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, I break the power of bitterness and rebellion and anger and rage and hostility in the name of Jesus. Anger and rage and hostility and betrayal, come out. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak to betrayal now. I speak to the spirit of betrayal. Come out in the name of Jesus. Lord, I see the strings. I see the strings, Lord. I see the strings now, Lord God. I see the strings. By the sword of the Spirit, I cut them loose now. I see the strings. I break them. The puppet strings that hold these people in bondage in the name of Jesus. The puppet strings. Come loose now. Turn them loose now. It said in the Bible that the string of his tongue was loosed in the name of Jesus. The puppet strings in the name of Jesus. It said that she was loosed from that bond, from that string that held her in bondage in the name of Jesus. Go! I break that. Cut it loose now in the name of Jesus. The puppet strings. The guilt. I break that puppet string of guilt and manipulation in the name of Jesus, of condemnation and self-condemnation. In the name of Jesus, I break the strings of condemnation and self-condemnation and guilt and inferiority, saying, I was never good enough. I break the power of self-condemnation, of accusation and shame in the name of Jesus. Lord, you said you'd give double honor for shame. I break the power of shame now in the name of Jesus. And I loosen double honor in the name of Jesus. I thank you for it, Lord God. And I praise you and bless you and glorify you, Lord. Great is your name, Lord Jesus. Great is your name. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. I break the power of the fear now. Fear in the name of Jesus. I break perfectionism in the name of Jesus. I break the spirit of perfectionism in the name of Jesus. A perfectionism, a criticism, a perfectionism in the name of Jesus. I break the critical spirit. I bind criticism now. I bind the critical spirit, the perfectionistic spirit, the spirit of manipulation by criticism in the name of Jesus. Be gone in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirit of constructive criticism in the name of Jesus. I bind constructive criticism of witchcraft spirit of constructive criticism. I break its power and be gone. Be gone. Be gone. I bind the spirit of stubbornness now. Lord Jesus, you said a scoffer. You said a proud man, scoffer is his name. He's a haughty man, a haughty, proud, scoffing man. He said, the Lord, you said he will not receive from the Lord. He will not receive correction. I break the deception now of pride. I break the spirit of pride and haughtiness. Pride and haughtiness, I break your power. I command you to be gone. Pride, haughtiness, can't be wrong. Stubborn self-will, stubborn spirit. the idolatry of self and stubbornness. I'm of stubborn spirit. I know I'm right. I know I'm right. In the name of Jesus Christ, they're not going to embarrass me. I'm going to have it my way. In the name of Jesus, I break that stubborn, idolatrous spirit, the spirit of stubbornness, idolatry, in the name of Jesus Christ. I break its power, and I command it to be gone. I break the unteachable spirit of the stubborn spirit, in the name of Jesus. Go! In the name of Jesus, go! Leave them! Leave them now! In the name of Jesus, I speak a gentle and a quiet spirit. I release a gentle and a quiet spirit, which is a precious in the sight of God. Precious in the sight of God. I release it to come forth now. I break the spirit of stubbornness, stubborn, unteachable spirits, and I release a gentle and a quiet spirit that is precious in God's sight, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for it, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord God. Praise your name, Lord God. Lord, I just ask you to come down now, Lord. I break the power of high blood pressure, fear, anxiety, high blood pressure, in the name of Jesus. I break the power of it in the name of Jesus. I break the power of the curse that causes stomach ulcers now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I pull out the accusations of the name of Jesus. I pull out the curses that have been loosed, the accusation, the bitter arrows that have been causing stomach ulcers and diarrhea in the name of Jesus. I bind those things. I pull them out now in the name of Jesus Christ. I pull them out and I speak to colitis and gastritis and I bind you and I command you to be gone and diverticulitis, be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak to the power of shame and timidity in the name of Jesus Christ. I break the power. God didn't give us a spirit of timidity, but He gave us a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. I break the power of timidity now in the name of Jesus. Be gone, timidity. Be gone, timidity, in the name of Jesus Christ. And I break the power in the name of Jesus. Thank you for it, Lord. And I speak healing now to your people, Lord God. I speak healing, Lord, to claudication in the legs, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I speak healing to nervous bladders, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. I speak healing to prostatism in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak healing to dysmenorrhea in the name of Jesus, to PMS. I break the curse of PMS, and I speak healing to it in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak healing, Lord. I speak restoration now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I bind the spirits of dyspareunia in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirits of impotence, Lord, in the name of frigidity in the name of Jesus. And I speak healing and restitution to God's people. Healing. Let your spirit flow down upon them now, Lord God. Let your spirits flow down upon them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Touch them now, Lord God. I break the curse now, Lord God, of deafness, Lord, of tinnitus, in the name of Jesus. I break the curse of allergies in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak to allergies and asthma and hay fever and sinus problems. The Lord rebuke you. I rebuke you and I bind you and I command you to be gone in Jesus' name. Thank you and praise you and bless you and glorify you, Lord God. For great is your name, greatly to be praised, Lord. We praise you and bless you and glorify you, Lord God.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.